Okay, good evening guys, welcome to another episode of The Tripod. My name's Alex, and together with Jacob we break down every single NRL game of the week from a betting perspective. We've been doing really well this year actually. Last week we went 11 wins, 6 losses, so you know, for your average $100 punter you're up about $500. And I just did the stats on our season actually. We are up 119 units on the NRL this year. So, I mean, if you are a $100 punter, I'll just get Jacob in here. $12,000 just this year alone, and you were never down at all. And that's just our NRL tip. So we are stoked about the finals, ready to get stuck into it. I'll just wait until Jacob gets in. Seems like it's been connected now. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Just heard you talking about our epic season. Not just a good season, our best ever season.
Yeah, absolutely. I was saying we're up 119 units this year on NRL alone, which is unheard of. 68% on spread bets. And I mean, you know, there's professional bettors out there, whether it be in Australia or mostly in the States, that bet on sports for a living, and that is their living. They bet on sports. And I mean, they are over the moon if they're betting, you know, 53.5%. If you're betting 55%, you know, that's almost unheard of. We're at 68% for the season.
Yeah, and we can explain it one more time. We've explained it a few times, but we always make our best bets line bets, so kind of your typical $1.90. We'll always search for the very best odds, and every cent counts. So a lot of bookies, you can get up to $1.93 on a 50-50 proposition, and we'll go all the way down to $1.80 if it's in our favour, but typically averaging around $1.90. For that reason, you're risking $11 to win 10, so winning at 50-50 doesn't cut it. The cutoff mark is about 52.5% where you'd be breaking even, which, if you're following and you're breaking even, that's still not too bad when you're considering you're having a punt for, you know, recreational purposes. But if you are trying to make money to be a pro, you need to increase that profit margin. 55% is excellent. 60% basically is very rare over a long period of time. We did a whole season with more, like nearly 400 best bets, I think it was. And yeah, we went 68%. I mean, that's even exceeded our expectations. We absolutely crushed the bookies. They've taken away markets that they used to post for years. Yeah. They've taken them away this year because we burnt them. And, you know, mate, it's a year exactly since we did our first ever video, live video. It was finals preview last year where we actually tried out the new technology. It's not too bad, to be honest. And, you know, then now we've got split screen. We don't even have to be in the same room, which is excellent as well.
Fucking oath. We've come a long way. I mean, it's absolutely grim having you at my house for fucking 2 hours every Wednesday. So fucking glad that we don't have to do that again. But finals, mate, I'm really stoked. Obviously, only 4 games for the finals that we'll break down. But in terms of finals betting, I mean, I tend to find that, you know, there's not quite as much value as the regular season because every single team is motivated. Whereas, you know, in the last few rounds of the NRL, you had teams that didn't need the win, you know, teams that were locked into position and other teams that were certainly motivated. So I think there's a few more opportunities in the regular season. But in saying that, we did crush the NRL finals last year. And I actually do like quite a few sides in the finals as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, for one, the most obvious reason, there's less games in the finals. So we always scour the landscape to find the best bets and the best markets within games we like. When there's less games, there's less opportunities to make money. And one of the powers that we have as punters is we choose which games to bet on, we choose which markets to bet on. We're not forced to bet every game. We won't if we don't see value. So that's one reason why, you know, we do shed a tear that the regular season's over. We don't get a round with 8 games of footy from Thursday to Sunday or whatever until March in 2018, which is kind of sad, yeah. But we've got NFL, we've got basketball coming up. We'll talk about that we do have tips for that in our group. I'm sure you've put a link for how people can get to the group. But as you said it as well, situational spots don't come up as easily in the finals because everyone is balls to the wall. So you're more so just trying to figure out which teams are overrated or underrated and which teams you like. Because everyone's trying their best. And the other thing is they've got a whole season sample size, the bookies, so they usually don't have the lines too far wrong either. So there's less bookie mistakes because they put more effort into capping these games. They take more money on them. All these things are against us. So we'll be honest. Yeah, the finals are even harder to crush than the regular season. But as you said, I like a couple of sides as well. And as footy fans, who doesn't love the finals? Because, yeah, we may not have as many bets. Obviously, we're probably not going to come up with 20 or 30 best bets this round, but we're going to be watching every game on the edge of our seat because it's going to be a fucking ripping final series.
Bloody oath, yeah. And to your point as well, I mean, even though it is tougher to make money during the finals, most of the people that do listen to us that, you know, want a bit of info for who they're going to punt on, they're your $10, $20, $50 punters. And there is, you know, there's all sorts of promos that you can grab for the NRL finals. Money back promos, you know, early payout promos, all that sort of stuff that swings, you know, I guess the bar in your advantage as a punter. So you should be playing all of those. And if you are, you know, if you're a $50 punter, you play all those promos, have a few bets here and there, you won't lose money. I can almost guarantee it because those promos are positive expected value. But, mate, enough about this. We should jump into the games. So, Friday night, cracker. Roosters are hosting the Broncos. They're anywhere from 3.5 to 4.5 point favourites, 38.5 the total.
And probably the game of the round, too. If I could pick any of these, this is huge. Both these teams seriously are contenders to win the comp. And I mean, the Melbourne Storm's going to have a big say in that. But honestly, this is the massive like arm wrestle for who can play the Storm in the grand final. You know, let's not write off the other five teams that have also made it. And it's footy. Anything can happen and you can get hot. But these two teams to win this game, and to get a fortnight off and to get a home prelim is so massive, honestly. If you really want to win the comp, we see every year that there's teams that get to the preliminary final that are just gassed and they got nothing left. A great example was the Cowboys last year. I still believe the Cowboys were as good as every other team last year in terms of the Cowboys were every bit as good as the Sharks and the Storm last year and could have won the comp, but they didn't win week one of the finals. They lost a tight one by like 4 points to Melbourne in week one of the finals. They then had to play Golden Point 90-minute game against Brisbane in week two of the finals. By week three, they didn't have enough in the tank and they got blitzed by the Sharkies. And that's why this one is so big. Now, in a vacuum, I mean, I'd have to say that the Roosters are better than Brisbane. I just feel like going through the team lists, I know that the Roosters' form's been patchy in the last kind of month, but I do forgive that a little bit because they were pretty secure in their kind of top two position. They won the games they needed to in the end, finished second. Boyd Cordner and Jake Friend, as well as Michael Gordon, all had injuries, which is going to disrupt a side. They're all back now. Still a key player who's in doubt, and that's going to maybe affect my read on this game, is Daniel Tupou. So he's been out with a groin injury, but he's named in the reserves, and I think if he plays, that is going to cause problems for Brisbane because this is going to be a defensive, absolute, like a defensive grind. The total looks a little high for me. We should have probably grabbed it under 40.5 earlier in the week. It's now probably 38.5. We'll look through every bookie and every market to find the best possible total if we do like it. And then we'll give those plays out on our website and in our group tomorrow. Website's www.tripodbetting.com. .com. And you can sign up for the newsletter. So we may play the under there because I really do feel this is going to be both teams are so good defensively and don't make mistakes. But my point I wanted to make was that with the reshuffle, with no Darius Boyd, with Cody Nikorima going to fullback, with the potential to maybe bring David Mead onto the wing if you did swing Kahu back to fullback and you did bring Nikorima into halves, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Bennett has kind of a trick up his sleeve. I just really worry about bombs in this game. The defense is going to be so solid, but I feel like bombs to wingers, Furgo is hard to handle in the air, and Tupou, there's almost none better at leaping and snatching one out of the sky than Daniel Tupou. So if he plays, that's going to be a real issue for how Brisbane can contain the Roosters' wings. And the other one is the Roosters' forward pack. To me, like Napa, Warrior Hargraves, and with the rake of Jake Friend, does seem to have a significant edge over Thaiday, Blair, and Hunt, however they, you know, do line up in the and, you know, your front row is massive. I think Brisbane, I don't know, like, Brisbane, I can't really see where they have an advantage, but I will say this, finals footy just inherently is closer. The refs let a little bit more go, which means smart teams can kind of slow games down and keep it closer. 4.5 is a shitload of points. My instinct's actually telling me that 4.5 is too many points for such a good team like Brisbane, even though I'm acknowledging Roosters are the better side, might still end up having to take the points with the Bronx.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, I mean, you never want to lay big points in the finals game. And even though, you know, four and a half points doesn't seem like too much, with a total of 38 with two, you know, very good defensive sides, it is tough to lay 4.5. I would actually lay, I've seen the 3.5. I've seen one today. I had a quick sift. I don't know if it's there anymore. I would lay the 3.5. I just think, you know, like you said, in a vacuum, the Roosters do have the better roster. I think their forwards are better. Not significantly, but they are. Obviously, with the reshuffle, with Nick Reimer moving out of the halves where he has been very, very good lately, I think the halves are much better. With Kieran Pearson there, I think they'll dominate. And I think the outside backs are probably comparable, if not the Roosters are slightly better. So I'll give the edge to the Roosters roster-wise. Then you've got home field, obviously, and I mean, that's probably worth a good 2.5, 3 points, especially in a finals game where it's going to be packed to the rafters. Just from a situational spot, we've got the Broncos having travelled to Townsville last week. I know they have 2 extra days rest, and people will be looking at saying it's extra rest for the Broncos. But I'll look at the Roosters' schedule. They have been in Sydney for 4 straight weeks. They have not had to hop on a plane for 4 straight weeks. So that, I think that's an advantage situationally for me. I just think I'm getting the better team, you know, at home. You know, if I can get 3.5 or even 4 points, I would probably even lay the 4, even though I do think that this is going to be a dead nut under game. I do not trust Benji Marshall in the halves. I think the Roosters win this one, possibly by a converted try. But I would easily take the under 38.5. I think it's going to be a bit of a grind, and just the Roosters halves are going to get it done. Saturday early game. This is probably one of the bigger favourites that we've seen in the finals game for a while. We've got the Storm hosting the Eels. You can catch them anywhere from 12.5 point favourites and 37.5 the total.
Yeah, and the Storm, and I said this a few weeks ago as well. I mean, we've acknowledged how good the Storm are. We did take them on last week with the Raiders, and the only reason to take Melbourne on last week was partly taking a chance that they might have sat out a couple guys like Cam Smith, Billy Slater. They didn't. They sat out Finucane and Glasby, yeah. But now those two are even fresher as well. And the forward pack is the underrated part about Melbourne. That forward pack is just fucking unreal. Like, you got a guy like Joe Stimson, who they're saying is a future captain of the Storm. They can't even fit him in the 17 at the moment, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was to come onto the bench instead of Slade Griffin. The Storm team, I said a few weeks ago, is the best side I've seen in the modern era. Honestly, it's so fucking loaded. And just look at what Queensland was able to do in Game 3. That's the Storm spine right there. And the Melbourne Storm forward pack isn't far, like, less below what the Queensland forward pack is, honestly, with guys like Jesse Bromwich, or both Bromwich brothers, and like, Big Nelson. And it's just such a loaded team, so well coached. The Eels are well coached as well. But I feel like the Eels, losing Gutho a few weeks ago, people thought there'd be a drop-off. There really wasn't. Now they've lost Bevan French as well. You will start to see that, like, their forward pack, the back line doesn't have the class of the Storm. And I think that Kirisim Arvau is a bit of a passenger out there. On the other side of it, like, Radradra versus Vinivalu is going to be worth the price of admission alone. That's going to be sensational. But, I mean, I also said a few weeks ago that a Storm Roosters grand final, Quinella was paying 5-1, and that was a rare time when a Quinella bet was value. And you're not going to get that at 5-1 now. Both those sides are going to be
like $3.25.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's probably not worth it at the 3.50 mark, because you could probably just bet each team to win all the way through to the final, just kind of carrying your money over, and you'd get closer to $4 odds. You know what? As much as it's a finals game, and I respect the Eels, the Storm forward pack is going to be too good for them, and I really don't see how the Eels can win this game. I'd honestly be shocked if the Eels can win. I don't want any part of the Eels even plus 12.5. You said that the total's 37.5, and I've seen even 36.5, but silly Willy still hanging it at 38.5. That's
lock it in.
Because honestly,
lock it in.
That's the best bet. So we want to take the total under 38.5, because I don't see Eels scoring more than 2 tries in this game. I really don't. With Bevan French not being able to come back to this side, and just with how good defensively the Storm are, so then, like, the Storm, you've still got wiggle room for the Storm to score maybe up to like 28 points, and you're probably still going to cash the under. And I mean, I do expect the Eels to turn up. I expect that, you know, the wrestle in this match is going to be insane. I wouldn't want to be trying to referee this match. There's been a war of words, which I almost wonder if Bellamy, you know, tries to pick a fight with Arthur just to fire up his boys, make this one a bit personal, because he has to keep the troops motivated. That's something that's so impressive with the Storm. They're never flat. They honestly show up 100% every week. So, yeah, it's funny. Like, I don't know. I would never really want to lay double digits, especially in a finals match against a side like the Eels, which we respect. I mean, we tipped that they could make the top four. We said that that was value, and it was paying around the $5 mark a few weeks ago. So we like the Eels. But do you agree that they really overmatched in this one?
Yeah, I do. And obviously, I'm not laying 12 or 12 and a half in a finals game, especially, you know, even though it's the Storm and they could easily roll, I'm not laying 12 and a half points. But yeah, I can't take the Eels either because no Bevan French really hurts. And I just cannot, for the life of me, trust Moses in a big spot. I mean, watching him the last few weeks, yeah, he's not that good. That's a big mismatch, you know, in the halves, a mismatch in the forwards, I think. And like you said, a bit of a mismatch in the back line. But yeah, I love the under. I think this is an absolute dead nut under game. It's going to be freezing cold. It's like 10 to 11 degrees in Melbourne. And it's like that. When the weather's colder, you play it a bit safer. You know, when it's a nice sunny afternoon weather, then people, you know, the teams throw it around a little bit more, play a bit more ad lib footy. But I think in a freezing cold game in Melbourne with two of the best coaches in the comp, and this is where I sort of am leaning towards the under, because you've got, you know, two of the best coaches, and I think, you know, they can prepare more than anything defensive schemes to match up. And I think when you've got time to prepare for a finals game, you've got a week, you know, you look at the teams, I think really good coaches will prepare more so defensively than offensively. So I don't see a lot of points being scored. Not taking 12 and a half with the Eels, because I honestly could see them scoring one fucking try. But I think the Storm, you know, they're one of those teams that if they are up 12 points, they might just lock it down and just trust their defense and just, you know, kill the clock. So I did have a bit of look around. I don't know what you think of this. I know you said, you know, they might be scoring 28 points, but because I can't see the Eels scoring too many, I looked around, you know, Storm under 24 and a half in most places, but you can get a flat 26 on Lux. And just because I think with the cold weather, very much under game, I think it's probably a tad high.
Yeah, could we also look at a like an under 4.5 team tries for the Storm? Or, you know, I was looking at that. You can get the whole match under 6.5 tries. And I was thinking, yeah, you know, I don't see more than two from the Eels. So then you've kind of got four to play with the Storm. If the Storm score 5 tries, they're probably going to go over that 26. Sure. You can actually get Parramatta to score under 2.5 tries at $1.77, which is may even be worth like dipping down. I know that's dipping below the $1.90, but that's as low as $1.50 in other places. So that's on Willie Hill. And I had one more for you to run by you as well. The Storm second half line of just a minus flat 6. You know, because I really am tempted to. I just think that it's going to be too good. They're going to keep the Eels out, but they will score themselves. So, you know, I do wonder if the Eels keep it close or if the Eels can compete. It's more likely to be in the first half. But I just think the Storm, you know, reasonably fresh. They've rested key guys all the way down the stretch. I just think they will win that second half by at least a try. And just to get that minus flat 6, you know the punters are going to be jumping all over the Storm. So if you want to play them, you know, you don't want to hang around too long because I don't really see that line coming down much lower. Certainly, if it was to drop to 5.5, I'd absolutely love it. So that's another one that I'm close to pulling the trigger on as well.
Yeah, I mean that's not a bad one. I think you would need 5.5. Whether it'll get there or not, I don't know. But yeah, like the one issue I have with that, like I said, is, you know, if the Storm just put on a clinic first half like they did against the Raiders, you know, just like bam, 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 3 quick tries, I really do see in a finals game they're not trying to blow the Eels out. They're just trying to do enough to win. So whether they just lock it up in the second half up 12 to 16 points, you know, that's the only worry for that bet, especially because, I mean, to cash
that.
But
the thing that I love about it, is Bellamy absolutely holds everyone to account. There is so much competition for spots. True. They never get backdoored and they never let in that soft late try. And if they're up big late, they want to keep executing. They know they've got 2 weeks off. They're not really trying to protect their bodies. They really do take pride in defending their line, keeping teams scoreless for a half or tryless for a half. So that's the beauty of that second half line is that, you know, they get the job done kind of as they start the second half. They pull away. And even if it is an unassailable lead, they don't give up. That's the thing about the Storm. So, yeah, that's why I do like that one. And, yeah, it's crazy to say, but this team is like none that I have seen for a long time. Okay. I'd rather play minus 12 than plus 12.
You would have to search very, very far back to find at the start of the season or start of the finals or even, you know, at the end of the regular season, a team that's less than $2 to win the comp from there. I mean, that is almost unheard of. But, they are
absolutely
head and shoulders above everyone else, you know. And then there's a big gap to second and third, and then there's a big gap to fourth again. So,
And that's, yeah, that's ultimately the biggest issue with the Storm. They're the best team of the modern era that I've ever seen, but everyone knows that. And when everyone knows it, it's hard to actually make money off it. So that's why we've really kind of got to get creative sometimes to find the best markets to back them. But you've definitely gotten rich this season if you've just played Storm opponents unders.
Totally, yeah. Because they're just absolutely do not let anything in the red zone. I mean, you get a set of six. Most of the time you're watching a team gets a full set of six in the at the 20-meter line. You kind of expect them to score. You never, ever expect them to score when they're playing against the Storm. It just looks, it just looks so solid back there. The late Saturday game, rematch from last week. Sea Eagles are 4 to 4.5 point favourites, hosting the Panthers, 40.5 the total.
We don't probably interact with the comments as much as we should. Sometimes we can't read
them. I can't see them.
I can. And people were questioning what our best bet is for the first game, that Roosters Broncos. I think we're definitely leaning to the under, and we'll probably have to talk more about the side because I think you definitely like Roosters at -3.5.
I
think that the handicap probably should be 4, so can't disagree with your thinking there. But I almost see value with Brisbane +4.5, so we can talk about that one. Craig Blake said that the Storm at $1.90 to win the comp is the second lowest price of any team starting the finals. But I'd be interested to know who the shortest. I'm trying to think which side could have.
Would it have been one of those
Melbourne teams that was over the cap, or maybe that Brisbane team in 2006, or even Brisbane back in 2001. But that'll be interesting to know. Now this game is interesting too, and it's a rematch from last week. And you mentioned earlier that we find a lot more opportunities to make easy money and like really solid best bets in the regular season. And last week was a great example because we loved Manly. We loved the shit out of Manly last week. We knew they were going to turn up at home, playing for their season, pretty much fully healthy against the Penrith side that kind of knew they just had to do enough and they only did just do enough and was kind of looking forwards to next week. And so we're all over Manly, got them at $1.85 to win. They closed closer to $1.60 and it was never in doubt. So now you have the rematch. And of course you have the circus that's going on with Matt Moylan. And I really thought he'd be back this week and he'd bolster this side. But now the news is out, obviously, that, the story I heard was that he wasn't doing the rehab that the club expected him to do. And so Gus and Hook pulled him aside and said, look, you need to be doing everything that we tell you to do. And he kind of has thrown his toys out of the cot and said, I'm going to look for another club. There could be
Which
more behind
me,
that
I mean,
too.
If that's
I'll be the first to say. Fair enough from Witt. From who? From Moylan or from the club?
From the coach's side. I mean, if he's not doing his rehab properly and it's fucking coming up to final time, fuck me.
Yeah. But, you know, I've questioned the coaching of Anthony Griffin multiple times over the history of the pod, which is 3 seasons long. I really do question whether he's a good coach. And he still has yet to prove it to me. And I know that Penrith did okay last year in the end, and they've done okay this season. But with the talent of that roster, they should be fucking doing okay. It's a very good side on paper. And even without Dylan Edwards, which I think is a really underrated loss, people aren't talking about the fact that Edwards is still out. And of course, Moylan being out. It's still possible. I would rather have Wateni Zalesniak at fullback. I don't know if he's still got like post-traumatic stress disorder from getting stripped by Tarek Sims. And they don't want to play him at fullback because he doesn't like return them. I'm not sure, but I would prefer him at fullback. And they still do have the depth. I mean, Farre really wasn't great last week. Maybe he'll be better. The forward pack can still match it with Manly. And look, I'll tell you this. I really feel like the value side has to be with Penrith. No one really wants to touch them with all the shit that's going on this week. Everyone remembers what they saw last week, which was Penrith getting like down 28-0. I would wait, maybe see if this line can climb all the way to 6. we need time to convince ourselves that the Penrith boys have got the right mindset, because you do wonder, is everyone on the same page in that club? Manly is a solid side, they really are. That's why we were confident they'd win last week. But it is too many points. There shouldn't be probably 4.5-point favourites when last week they were... Well, we got them at basically pick them when they needed the game way more than their opponent, where now it's do or die. So, and also last week we loved the under 40.5, and that was in a game where we knew Manly would be defending like crazy but didn't know what kind of Penrith would show up. This week we know both sides are desperate, and we know Penrith won't have Moylan or Edwards. So, once again, I'm leaning to the under, of course.
Yeah, no, I like the under as well. I think it's a tad high at 40.5. Obviously, we know that Manly can't really kick, even though the Panthers do have a great goal kicker in Cleary. This is actually one game where I just cannot pick it. At first, I thought Panthers were definitely the side, but then you've got all this off-field drama with Moylan. It cannot help. And then I sort of just looked at it, and they were on a 7-game win streak. You know, everyone was high on them. You know, they were a chance of making the top four. Then they lost that brutal game against the Dragons. They fell to bits last week against Manly. I know they didn't really need the game, but they just put in an absolutely horrible performance. I don't want any part of Manly. I think they're done. I think they're not. I think, you know, not showing up last week and obviously that brutal loss against the Dragons has taken it out of them. I think Manly is a team of destiny, perhaps. I mean, they should not even be in the finals. You know, obviously the win over the Warriors. I think they truly, as a club, believe that they should be in the finals. They're lucky to be there, but I think they're going to fucking put in a great effort at home. It's going to be rocking down there in the stadium there at Lotto Land. But the reason I can't take Manly, I think the line's too high. I would not lay 4.5 with Manly. But I do like the under. I think that's the play in this one, but I can find reasons to go against both sides, so I don't love it.
Yeah, that Manly side is built to win finals footy games. Really strong, you know, big forward pack and really good defence and knows how to grind. And Cherry Evans does make really good decisions to end their sets. They do end their sets well when they're playing with confidence. And when the forwards are winning the battle and there's a little bit of time for the halves, I think Blake Green, you know, he's right up there in repeat sets force and stuff like that. So
40-20, it's actually very well grilled.
Yeah, so I mean, Trent Barrett's done a great job with that side, and yeah, I think a lot of people are thinking the same way as you. They don't really want to put their hard-earned money on Penrith, not knowing what to expect. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago that this Penrith side went down to Canberra as underdogs. No one really thought they'd win that one. Canberra was playing for their season, had their tails up, and Penrith showed serious guts to hang tough in that match with everything against them, including the refs in the second half, and won that one. And Moylan had hurt his hammy in that game, really didn't do a lot. So, you know, that was only a couple games ago with Penrith as well. True. And they weren't too bad against the Dragons either when they did lose by 2 points. So it's really just one game that Penrith has lost and they didn't need to win. So I haven't ridden off the Panthers by any stretch. But I agree with you that the line is too high for Manly anyway, leading to the final game of the... The week one finals.
I was just going to say, in terms of finals footy, it is a different style of game. I mean, the refs do call it a lot tighter. Defense wins. And just solid play by the halves. And I think it is a bit of a mismatch. I mean, Cleary does not have too much finals experience. And on the flip side, you've got Cherry, who's been in a grand final before. You've got Blake Green, who's been there before. You know, you've got good experience in the halves for Manly. And, you know, like we saw last week, if their forwards can match it with the Panthers pack, and they outmatched them, really, and they get a roll forward, then the halves just carved them up. I like this one. The Sharkies hosting the Cowboys. Sharks are 8-point favourites, 39.5 the total.
And I'll shout out Ryan Hamilton, who said that Edwards has actually been named in the reserves. I might have missed that. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's in your... Yeah, so that's jersey number 20. So it's possible, and that would make a big difference if he could come back. But it was a nasty knee injury, so we'll just have to see how that one plays out. Here's another one where I do like a side. And, you know, speaking about Manly, nearly dead to rights, down 7 in New Zealand. And to come back, gut that one out, and then win well at home. And here they are hosting a finals game when they were on the brink. The Cowboys were on the brink as well, because the Cowboys had to sweat on 2 results after, getting outplayed by Brisbane. They threw their best shot at Brisbane, and they weren't good enough. And they knew that they had to play for their season. But I thought Brisbane was really impressive last Thursday in Townsville. And then obviously once Manly won, as we predicted, they needed the Dragons to be upset to take any part in this season. And, well, I mean, the Dragons were losing something like 14-6, then come back to be leading 20 points to 14. At that point, the Cowboys are probably booking cheap flights to Bali and searching online for some fishing gear. But the Bulldogs, of all teams, show some heart, score the final 12 points of the game. And here we are. And you know what? I don't think that, like, the Cowboys would have switched off. I think they're going to play. You speak about destiny. I think they're going to play like a team with absolutely nothing to lose.
Totally agree.
I know that it's well publicized they've had a shitload of injuries this year. But I make the point, the 17 that they've named for this game is still very strong across the board. Now, we know that JT is out, but Morgan's done an exceptional job. Tamari Martin has done his job. Lockie Coote takes pressure off the playmakers. Jake Granville takes pressure off the halves. They're both great playmakers in their own right. The forward pack, yeah, they lost Matt Scott, but once again, like, that back row, Gavin Cooper, Ethan Lowe, and Taumalolo is one of the strongest in the comp. This side is well coached and really cohesive team, and they're catching too many points for me. The Sharks, I really wanted to see more out of them. We took them -7.5 against the Knights, and we got home by the skin of our teeth on Sunday arvo. I really wasn't impressed with the Sharks with their goal line defense to let in. How many did they let in? So like 20 odd or more than 20 points against the Knights. They're going to have to seriously improve on defense. And I know that Wade Graham's back in the side and Jack Bird's back in the side, but, you know, it's just very hard to repeat in this competition. And even if I think the Sharks win this game, you could see them winning on the back of Maloney's goal kicking or, you know, winning by a try. I mean, to me, the Cowboys line, it was 8.5 somewhere earlier in the week. We should have snatched that. But I would only look at the Cows +8. I know that they can defend. I know their forward pack can hang. I don't really think that their back line gets outclassed in this one either. And I mentioned it. The Sharks played Sunday arvo. The Cowboys played Thursday. Like, they can't be understated that they get 10 days to prepare for this one as well. I think that's massive, and I'd be surprised if this line closes at 8 on game day. I think it's going to go down.
Totally agree, yeah. I think it'll close somewhere around 6 or maybe even less than that. We talk about lucky win theory, I guess, when a team has a lucky win and then backs it up the next week, got nothing to lose. This is a similar situation, like you said. I mean, they were down for the count. There's not a chance that they thought they'd be playing finals footy. So I think they really come out with a nothing-to-lose attitude and throw the ball around a bit. This is why this is the only game where I actually don't love the under, just for the fact that, you know, the Cows, you know, talk about a team of destiny. Like you said, they didn't think they'd be playing finals footy. Or they'll come out with nothing to lose and they might just throw it around a lot. And we know the Sharkies can score some points as well. But yeah, I'm on upset alert here. I think the Cows could do them dirty and get the outright win. So I think 8 points is far too many. You know, like you said, Graham and Bird back for the Sharks. But I mean, when you look the roster up and down, you're right. There's not that much difference. The only glaring difference is that the Sharks have a great kicker in Maloney. So that could be the difference at the end of the day. But if you're giving me 8 points, you know, I'm taking that every day of the week. Plus, you got revenge factor. You know, Sharkies beat the Cows. I think it was 24-10 a few weeks back. So you've got that on your side as well. And I just think the Cows, even if they're down 12
points, and the preliminary final last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Revenge, you know, yeah. Speaking about doing them dirty, because, yeah, like the Cowboys, these two sides have met a lot of times in big games. They've got a lot of history and they've played some tight ones as well. And they're the two most recent champions. So, yeah, 8 points is far too high. Let's make that a best bet right now. It's widely available. So wherever you can get, I think maybe Bet365, you'll get that one $1.93. So that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Take
you might even be able to, because the line was 8.5, you know, yesterday, you might even be worth just hopping on your app and checking the alternate lines on every single site, because some of them are slow to adjust. So you might find, like, you look on the app, oh, the line's +8, you know, $1.90, and then you fucking hop on the alternate line and they've got +8.5 at $1.90 as well. So that's certainly worth doing because a half point could be the difference between getting money back and actually winning double your money.
Yeah, well, an old boss of mine once said you've got to be a bit cunning sometimes. And I mean, part of being a professional bettor is looking around at every market, and there can be little mistakes or little kind of inefficiencies in the market, and you're going to snap up a few extra cents of value or an extra half point of value, and it all adds up in a long season when you've got 400 best bets. It can be the difference between winning and losing. And speaking of that, you know, the line being around 8.5, 8. If you could get the Cowboys +4.5 in the first half, once again, that'd be definitely worth doing. We do see some value in that one.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, you only have to look as far back as last week, Sharks Knights. I mean, you know, prior to kickoff, there was 7.5 available, 8 and 8.5. And obviously, as we know, the game landed on 8. So, you know, if you got the 7.5, you won. If you got the 8, you got money back. And if you got 8.5, you lost that bet. And that is the advantage of having, you know, multiple bookies that you can shop around. Because, you know, if you decide you like a side, you want to get the best possible odds available and the best price.
And as you say that, we've got two good lads. And cheers to you, lads. You're the real MVP. Scotty Murray, Craig Blake, both saying. And actually, Nigel's just come to the party saying Ladbrokes has this game at 8.5. So, and I think they found some of these lines in the in the alternate markets and stuff like that. Exactly what you're saying. Yeah. And so other boys are saying it too. So there you go. We can get the hook as well. So +8.5, probably my favorite line bet of all the sides, probably my favorite kind of spread bet of the round. Adam Heath, I give him a shout out. He says the Sharks will go back to back, but on a double ender. So,
that is great.
He would know, actually, he would have some experience in that, and he's close with some Sharkies fans as well. In fact, Danny pulled the lever saying that Will Hill's got 8.5 as well. If that's the
case,
I'm pulling the trigger there. That's like the only bookie I've got left that'll take a decent bet off me. So, we have banned nearly every bookie you can name. That's why we do the pod.
Yeah, you better check if something's happened in the hour that we've been doing the pod, you know, for the line to move from 8 to 8.5. We'll lock in the 8.5. It's the best bet. That'll do for this week. Anything else you wanted to say, mate?
Yeah. All right, doesn't have to be a best bet, but I have followed the AFL pretty closely, believe it or not. Just love any sport, really. And we've given out best bets on NFL. People know that we follow the basketball. I think Richmond Tigers, we'll actually get the win on Friday night as well. And I'm looking forward to watching that one too. I think Geelong is just really popular with the bettors, and people haven't been let down by Geelong backing them in the last few years. The Tigers is the side that always fails, always lets people down, and always kind of chokes. And I think people don't want part of the Tigers. Geelong is the home side here, but it's being played at the MCG because I think just basically of capacity. So that's actually the Tigers' home stadium. So some people could be mistaken that Geelong has home field advantage. If anything, the Tigers do. And it was +6.5 on 365 earlier in the week. You can still get +5.5 in places. That's probably the go in the AFL. That's just my 2 cents. We just love watching high stakes footy action. And we'll take it any way we can get it. We'll
going
actually be catching
public
up this weekend.
Let the
best bets flow freely and the beers as well. We will put our heads together, as we said, and we will clarify. We've already given out a couple that we know we love, but we'll talk about the other ones, the other possibilities. And, you know, no three unders. You know, that's going to possibly be a good market to look at in a couple of these games where we like the under. For an example, we do find all sorts of ways to bend the bookies over. We've been doing it all season. If you want those tips, you need to hit the link that attached to this video and find your way into our event. It's called Pod Party, and that's where the bets are posted. If you can't get into that, go to www.tripodbetting.com. Find the tips there as well, lads, and multis and everything else too.
Yeah, find everything on there, the tips, the multis, and, you know, everyone posts, you know, good offers, weekly promos. You can find that all in the group. Not only that, we've got some ripper sign-up deals as well. I mean, support Ladbrokes, because come to the party this week. We love the Cowboys. We told them that. Deposit $25, get $75 in bonus bets, plus a $100 bonus bet if the Cows have scored 10 points or more. And, you know, that's two tries, one converted. So that's easy enough. So join the group. The link is in above the video, obviously. And once you join that group, you'll see instructions to find our current group, because Facebook is constantly staying us. So we're always hopping around to different groups. But if you hit the link in the post, you'll find where to find the current group. So join that one. And we'll release tips tomorrow morning. And hopefully have another winning week. Have a good one, guys.
We're going to add another one. We're going to add one more if you don't hit. Just in time. Nah. Someone has just commented that we can get +4.5 on the Cowboys on Sportsbet. So let's lock that one down as a best bet as well. Let's reward the people that actually have stuck with us and watched this video and listened to us talk shop for God knows how long it was. But we've kind of proven over 3 years, we know what we're talking about. So if you do follow and you get on some of these markets, they're not always available for much longer because the boys that are watching, smash them. So there's another one that you can get on. That should be a good value as well. Yep. All right, thanks for tuning in, lads.
That'll do it, guys.
Let's enjoy the best week of footy of the year.